Hello, I'm Anna.
And I'm Jocelyn.
And you're listening to Escape Expeditions, which is a podcast where we talk about escape game reviews, recommendations, and other industry nonsense.
This is where the intro goes.
Cue the jingle!
Starting route to Escape Expeditions. Continue listening for 45 minutes.
Welcome back from that incredibly catchy jingle. So why don't you, Jocelyn, tell us how you got started with escape games in general?
Okay. I think the first game we played was like the third game that I played, actually. Right? Mm-hmm. I think so. I played one randomly on a whim with my mom when I was up north. And it was incredible. And I remember texting you and being like, I just did the most amazing thing in the world. And we have to do it immediately. And you were like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I do remember this happening. And I distinctly remember you texting me saying, we had to drive a remote control car through this little hole in a door to go get a key and something. And I'm like,
it was a big deal in 2014.
I was like, pause. What are you even saying? Like, where did this happen? How is this possible? What is this? I need to know.
Yeah, so after I got out of the first one, they had another game, so we played again immediately.
Like, directly afterwards?
Yeah. I don't know why there was no one else there. But yeah, we played immediately afterwards. And we just, like, Google searched, like, what to do near me?
Yeah, and also, to clarify, up north means what?
Oh, it was in Connecticut, I believe.
Because we're based out of Orlando.
Yeah.
So up north to us does not mean, like...
Not like Canada.
Yeah.
Or the North Pole.
Definitely not the North Pole. Yeah. I doubt that they have any. The escape game industry is exploding, but I don't think it's exploded quite to the North Pole
maybe,
yet.
Maybe. You don't know.
No. Well, maybe. That's true. We'll have to ask Santa. Yeah. After that, you basically tried to get any opportunity so that we could go play one together. And it was not easy because there was none where we lived. So we actually had to drive pretty far and, like, make a whole day out of it to drive, like, 2 hours to Orlando when we weren't living in Orlando at the time to play.
We played at the escape game, right?
Yeah, we played the heist at the escape game, which is, by now, it's, like, kind of a national chain that has its home base, I think, in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went, probably back in 2014, 2015, they only had like 3 or 4 games in Orlando. And pretty much the same exact thing happened. We like finished this game and we immediately like looked at each other and we're like, okay, we need to play another one right now. And like Googled where is the nearest escape game from where we were at like 11 p.m. on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up like going to a different location and like playing another game at like that started at midnight because we were just so hyped.
It's a very Orlando thing that was possible.
This is true. And ever since then, it's literally been like an addiction. Like we have not, anytime we have any free time, we're always trying to find a different game to play. Traveling to places.
We played 4 games this week.
Did we? Really?
Yeah, we played one today, we played one 2 days ago, we played 2 the day before that.
This is true, this is how math works. Yeah, at this point, how many do you think we've played?
Like 200-ish?
Something like that. So, ever since we started playing all these games and just getting really, like, excited about the industry in general, we both ended up working as game masters and throughout that whole experience, we've seen hundreds of games. We've met, you know, hundreds of customers, maybe more. I obviously have not counted, but we have relationships with
local owners
in the area and
enthusiasts,
bloggers, and
we see a lot of, at least I still run games all the time now, and I've talked to a lot of different people who have played a lot of different games, so it's pretty interesting to get perspectives from everywhere since Orlando is like such a tourist central place.
Yeah, absolutely. And whenever we get a chance, we still will travel 2-3 hours driving to go play. We did a whole road trip that took like 2 weeks, and we drove all the way to Connecticut and back playing games along the way. So we have been doing this for a long time.
We decided we should direct that energy somewhere, like into this void that we're talking into.
Which you are hopefully listening to.
Maybe somewhere.
Maybe somewhere. Thank you, you, that one person.
At the gym, you.
Now they feel targeted. Yeah.
But yes, we feel like we have played a lot of games and talked to a lot of people who have played a lot of games. So we thought that maybe someone would care about what we have to say.
Yeah. So in today's episode, mm-hmm. we have decided to put together a list of our top five favorite things that we like to see in escape games. And we have not shown each other our list. So we've ranked it from, you know, 1 to 5, what we think is the most important. And we'll also throw in a little bit of examples of different things that we really like. Spoiler free, obviously, because we don't want anyone to get their experience ruined from listening to what we have to say.
Yeah.
So do you want to go ahead and get started?
Yes, don't look at my list.
I'm not looking at your list. It's okay, very confidential.
Yeah. Do you want me to start from the bottom?
Yeah, I think we should start from the bottom.
Okay. So I actually did 6 instead of 5.
Okay. Well, what? Yeah. You did not tell me this.
I know.
I only wrote 5, but now I'll think of another one very quickly.
Well, I couldn't pick 5.
Okay. All right, let's hear it.
So number 6 is something enthusiast specific. I think now it's really important to me if a game is unique or not, because after playing so many games, it's refreshing to see something different rather than, like, you know, breaking out of jail for the 100th time.
Yeah, what I was going to ask was, what do you consider to be boring or, like, not unique?
Right. Jail is actually kind of a bad example because I always kind of want to break out of jail. But lab games or, like, you know, games that you see everywhere, which are fun still, of course, sure, but like a really good game to me now is like something that is unique or different. And my example for that was Boxed Up at Comnata Quest.
Okay, so this is a venue in New York where the object of the game is to break out of a coffin that you are literally locked inside of, and it's only a 2-player game. And there's 2 boxes, essentially, right next to each other. And each person is locked in their own box, laying down. And you have 45 minutes to
figure out, basically, where your box is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you are blindfolded and handcuffed when you're put into the box. So it's a pretty out there experience,
a very intense situation for those claustrophobic people out there.
For sure. But it's definitely something that you cannot do anywhere else. So that's why.
Definitely very specific to that particular place.
Yeah.
So I do agree with you. The one thing that I wanted to bring up, though, when you mentioned that you only like a place that's unique, or not only like a place, but mm-hmm. would prefer a place that's unique, is that not a lot of people are really familiar with the industry in general. And what I mean by that is, like, if, you know, your family who is not like us, has not played, you know, hundreds of games, they want to go out on a weekend to go do something fun, they're going to pick something that they think everyone's going to like. So they're going to want to go to the game that where they can break out of jail or stop the zombie apocalypse or, you know, defuse the bomb. Those kinds of games definitely have their purpose, I think.
Right, of course, yeah. That's why I said it was very specific.
Specific to you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that can be fair. So that's not to say that we don't enjoy a good bomb defusal, but just not all the time.
Or maybe a bomb defusal that feels not like every other bomb defusal.
So my number 5 is actually set design or like scenic mm-hmm. of a game. And what I mean by that is, like, when you walk in, you want to be like, wow, this looks really amazing, like it's very immersive and very believable mm-hmm. and it looks like they actually put in time and effort into selling you what their theme is.
Yeah, like the production value.
Exactly, like the production value. And the example that I had for this one was Not exactly sure of the name of the game, but it is a Krampus Christmas-themed game.
It's funny. I have production value as number 3 on my list, and I just put Backstage in general.
That is Backstage Escape Games that's in South Carolina.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So this game that we played was Christmas-themed, but like not the happy kind.
Yeah,
like,
the Krampus kind.
The Krampus kind of Krampus Christmas, exactly. So it's like the monster has come to destroy Christmas or steal Christmas or something. Mm-hmm. Really, it's kind of funny because I can't remember what the story is that much, but I was blown away by how beautiful it was.
Yeah.
And the different elements that they had in it to make it feel like you were actually like in the Krampus lair. You walked in and it really had like that moment of like, wow, this is so, so cool.
Yeah. One of their other games, the Atlantis game, which I think is just called Legend of Atlantis.
Something like that.
Is one of the first games that I played that I was really like wowed at like the potential of what escape games could be, you know, because like it really feels like you are exploring Atlantis in like the way, like as a production value element, like it really looks the part all the way through.
Mm-hmm. The reason that I kept this one so low on my list too is because I think that a lot of like locally owned mom and pop type places might not have, you know, the budget that these kinds of places do, right. And they can still have incredible games. So like it is lower on my list, even though it is very important to me because I think that factor adds a lot to your experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I think too that if you can tell that effort was put into it and it's not just, you know, like your drop ceilings are white and you've got your office floor with like your cubicle walls.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's played those four white walls office games.
Yeah, and those are never fun.
Yeah.
I think that if you can put effort into it, even if you don't have the biggest budget, that your customer will be able to tell.
Yeah.
And that people will still appreciate that and that will still add to their experience.
Yeah, for sure. It's also like if you design a jungle game and your budget is, you know, $50, clearly not going to go well.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if you create something that you know that you can make based exactly. on, like, the budget that you have versus, like, trying to create some outlandish thing and not being able to pull it off.
Yeah. Or if you're trying to make your office white wall space look like you're outside.
Right.
Or look like you're on a pirate ship or something yes. like that. Like, you can't, if you realistically don't have the budget to do that,
yeah.
then you don't have any business trying to make it happen because
right.
people are not going to feel like they're actually in that experience if you just, like, painted your walls brown and, like, painted the floor blue and you're like, oh, you're outside, like, on a sunken pirate ship. Like, that, it just does not happen.
Right, but I also think the industry itself, we're, like, we've like watched the industry grow so much that like, you know, maybe 3 years ago that would have been okay. But now people have a lot higher standards as for escape games in general. And like they are growing exponentially. So yeah. like once you play a game that's really good, you know, you go somewhere and you play a game that, you know, has blue painted sky on the ceiling, then it's a little,
not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can totally see that as well.
So my number 5 is Story, which is really low on my list, I know.
Hmm. I expected you actually to have that as like number 1 or 2 because
I'm a story nerd.
You come from a film background, a directing background, and I know that storytelling in general is like one of your top favorite things. So I'm actually surprised that you have it so low.
I know. I'm going to explain.
Please explain.
The main thing is that the normal person who's playing an escape game has a very short attention span as to what the story can be. So for me, like, the best execution of a story is a simple story that is convincing enough to, you know, explain why you have to do whatever it is you're doing and the amount of time that you have to do it. For example, like, you know, defuse this bomb because it will explode instead of, oh no, people are coming in 40 minutes. Please escape now. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. That's a good story right there.
Right, yeah.
Just have that on your website. Big, oh, no. You know, I gave you a lot of crap for having it, having story low on your list.
Yeah, you do too.
No, I have it as number four, which is like, I guess, equivalent to your number five since you had six.
Since I had six, yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I think that it needs to be like convincing enough so that people will want to play and they have like a reason to want to play.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be so complicated that it completely gets lost or
right, and that
nobody
doesn't
understands.
Mean, that doesn't mean you can't have character or, you know, background and all this stuff, and like people can't be invested in the story that you're trying to tell. It just doesn't need to be this like long-winded like spiral of a thing that gets too complicated and you're like, what? I'm trying to open this lock.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
what I mean,
like if you have five paragraphs of story on your website before your customer even comes in to play your game, like
yeah,
that needs to be edited. Like nobody's reading that. There's no reason it needs to be that long.
Right,
like
right,
that's just too much.
My example comes with a disclaimer because I work for Doldricks in Orlando, but my example is Bomb Squad, and because
it, which is actually called what?
Yeah, it's called Super Bomb Squad Commandos Awesome.
Okay, yes. Just so everyone knows.
Yes. Which, if you're ever in Kissimmee, stop by.
Shameless plug.
Yes.
Okay.
But no, my reason is because at its core, it's a bomb defusal game, right? And the story is simple. Break into the enemy base, disarm the bomb, or everything explodes. Pretty easy to digest,
mm-hmm.
right? The average person understands the urgency
yeah.
of an explosion.
Yeah.
But the way that they tell the story is integrated all the way throughout the game. And there's these little fun characters all the way through that are like, you're almost out of time, in high quality voiceover that is explaining the story, but in little digestible parts.
Right.
Instead of like, read these five paragraphs taped to the wall about Egypt.
Yeah, no. Nobody wants to read your lore about Egypt.
Right.
That's just ridiculous.
You shouldn't have lore about Egypt. It's just Egypt.
Lore about an entire country.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. That was
yeah.
stupid of me to say. No, but I agree with that. And I also think that you can still have a complicated story. Like, for example, a lot of venues are popping up now where all of their games kind of run along the same story thread.
Right.
Where, like, people can play starting from the beginning or even not and play a small chapter in an even bigger story.
Right.
And I think that's super fun.
Yeah, for sure.
And
but each of those individual stories are more digestible because they're individual
right.
versus it being, like, one overarching thing that you're all doing at once in
yeah.
60 minutes.
Yeah. Or even, like, all of your games are part of the same world and, like, people are getting, like, different snapshots of it or something
right,
like
right.
that.
Yeah.
That, I think, is super interesting.
Yes.
And people, that'll make people want to keep coming back.
Absolutely.
You know, because they're like, oh, well, I did this, and then in this game, I saw an Easter egg for a different game,
mm-hmm.
and that makes me want to go play that. And that
yeah.
also, you know, will help you get repeat business as
for
well.
Sure. For sure.
So, I had story as number four.
Oh, do you want me to do my number four then?
No, I mean, you just did your number five, so I can talk about my number four.
Yeah, you said a story.
Right.
What you just talking about.
I know, but my examples, I mean.
Okay, keep going.
Uh-huh, thank you. So, one of my examples, which really just goes along with what we were just saying, is Submerged, which is, I think,
a great game. And side note,
at Ultimate Escape in Atlanta,
yes,
Georgia. And this game is also, it has a simple story, which is just like, you're on a submarine, it is sinking, you will die,
get out.
I feel like it's hilarious that a lot of escape game themes are essentially like, if you don't finish, you will die.
Yeah, at their core.
Yeah, and then as a game master, you walk in after, if they don't complete the game, and you're like, well, all of you disappeared.
Yeah.
Shucks.
Look, it's your ghost.
Or all of you died.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a little morbid, just as like a side note.
Yeah.
But what you're doing throughout this whole game is, you know, towards the goal of escaping this sinking submarine. It's not just like you're doing a whole bunch of tasks and, oh,
right.
look, at the end, we're off the sinking submarine. It's like you need to somehow break into the escape pod or whatever. And like that,
right.
I think, is really helpful.
Yeah, the puzzles actually make sense as to why you would be doing them. They're not puzzles just to be puzzles.
Yeah.
Right, that's what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. My number four is Game Master, which is more about the experience,
mm-hmm.
I suppose, than the game itself. And maybe I'm a little biased from running a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely have had experiences ruined from Game Masters, and experience is made a lot better because of the person watching the game. That is less about the design of the game and more about like how the company exists, yes. I suppose.
And you know what? I love that you bring this up now, because I have written as my number one customer experience.
Yeah, okay.
Which goes along with like Game Master, exactly.
Yeah.
Because of what you just said when you said you've had experiences ruined by Game Master. That is why I think that is my number one most important thing about what makes a good experience, what makes a good game,
mm-hmm.
is how you're treated by the staff, how they maintain the games, how they run the games, how they give you clues, all of that I put as my number one. So go ahead, I'll let you talk.
No, no. You're right. It's, to me, like, the big thing about escape games, right, obviously, is that you play them once, or at least like your first if you play the same game again, you will know what to expect. So your first experience only happens once,
right,
and you could have the game could be excellent, but if you have a bad game master, like you ask for a clue and they're not paying attention and you wait 5 minutes and they ask you a question about what you've done and then they give you a wrong clue that leads you down a rabbit hole for 15 minutes, and then you lose the game.
Simply because of the person who was watching it.
Right. And, like, that's unfair to the game. But it's also not, because the company is training those people to run games that way. And as someone who runs games, it hurts me greatly.
To your core.
To my core. If you're not, like, giving that person playing the game the experience that you would want to have. And sure, I know a lot of game masters are not enthusiasts. They're just people doing a job, whatever. But, like, if you are in a customer service industry, especially in a major tourist area, not just in Orlando, but in other places, like, mm-hmm. people are expecting a high-quality experience, especially if you're paying $30 a person for an hour.
Yeah.
Like,
you're doing your customers a disservice if you don't try your best to give them the highest quality experience, especially for what you're charging them.
Right.
And the, just, you know, to have a good overall, I don't know what
experience.
I'm trying to say. No, not experience. I'm trying to say, like, to, you want people to have the best idea of what your product is.
Oh, yeah.
And what escape
games integrity, are. The integrity of your game.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
The integrity of the game.
Yeah.
You want to maintain the integrity of your product.
Right. And that includes how it's run.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course.
And
I don't have examples for that because it's very specific.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about, I mean, there have been times where, like you said, where, you know, you call for a clue because you've been stuck on something for 10 minutes and it takes the game master 3 minutes, and then they get back to you with, well, have you opened up this cabinet yet? It's like, well, shouldn't you be watching?
Yeah. Have you seen this?
Yeah, like,
have you... And I get it, you know, like, if you look away from the screen for a second and something happens, whatever. But, like, if you were paying attention to that game and someone is asking you for a clue for 3 minutes or something like that, like, that's an extreme situation.
Yeah.
You ask me for a clue, whatever. Maybe you have to wait 20 seconds if...
If you were caught off guard, maybe you still have to type it out.
Right, yeah, depending on the situation.
You're looking on the camera to see if that box is open or not. Like,
right, but, like, just pay attention to your game. I don't... It makes me so angry.
This is like hurting you on a personal level, I can tell.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, I've watched hundreds of games too.
Of course.
I also, I agree, like, we both, I mean, all the places you've worked and the one place where I work, one game master is assigned to one game at a time. And
right.
this is not the same everywhere.
Of course.
Like, some corporate places, you know, they'll have one person watching two games or even three games.
Right, and they're compromising on a customer experience to cut costs.
Yeah.
Like, at the bottom line, that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Because at some point, you're going to have to answer for the fact that your customer gave you a bad review because they were down to the wire, they had 3 minutes left, and they asked for a clue, they were right there at the end of the game, and something happened... You know, your game master was not watching, they took too long to answer, you know, they gave someone the wrong clue that led them down the wrong path, and then they lose the game, and that just completely ruined their experience. That has happened to us multiple times. And it's just, it's something that's so just so preventable.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree. And I didn't have, like, a specific example for this, but my one thing I just wrote in general is that I find that a locally owned, like, mom and pop place will have a, like, much better customer experience yes. than, like, a big chain or a place where you can tell that their staff is just overworked. They're watching yeah. too many games at once. Like, you can tell when someone pours everything they have into their business that they care so much about the customers more than, like, someone who didn't.
Right. If your goal, of course, you're opening a business, you want to make money, right? But if you really care that the people playing your games are having a great time, it's going to show. And your game masters will also care.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It also helps if your game masters are enthusiasts, but that is yeah, obviously...
it's a bonus.
Yeah. It does not happen everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. My turn?
Yeah. Three.
So, number three. So, my number three is actually immersion. And now that I think about it, it's kind of a not so good thing to have as number three because we pretty much have been talking about it.
It's like, number two for me.
Alluding to it throughout. It's number two for you?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So what I mean by this is like, you know, when you are put into that room, how authentic do you feel the space is? Like, do you think that you're actually there? Like, is...
not just the space, but the whole experience.
Yeah. Obviously, like, the walls around you, like, how authentic does that feel? But also, how does the story fit into that? Like, do you feel like you're actually integrated into the story, or do you feel like you're just in a room solving puzzles?
Right.
And with that also comes game mastering as well, because if the way that a clue is given could completely break your immersion, if, for example, you have someone like standing in the room who's not in costume or not, you know, a part of the game at
just
all.
Just, like, hanging out.
Just to, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
On their phone.
Yeah.
And you ask them for help, like, oh, like, I'm trying to defuse this bomb, but let me just ask this random person that's standing here, like, what I should do next. And they're like, oh, yes, have you tried looking at the poster on that wall over there? It just completely, you know, breaks your experience. Like, it's very disjointed.
Yeah.
So I think that places that have a good, like, a seamless flow of clue delivery and a seamless flow of puzzles that actually fit in with the story, for mm-hmm. me, that is super important.
Do you have an example for that?
My example for that is actually Netherworld, which is in...
it's mine too.
Atlanta, Georgia as well. It's yours too. Oh my god. This is going great because yeah. we're agreeing on everything
yeah.
and we have the same examples for everything. Which one are you going to talk about? Because I wanted to talk about Sasquatch.
Yeah, that's the one I put too.
Yeah, so there is an incredible 10 out of 10 amazing Sasquatch game.
Yeah, if you are anywhere near the Atlanta area, just driving through, maybe you're on a plane, you want to parachute out, you know, anywhere in the surrounding area.
Just doing a casual skydive.
Yeah. You should check out Escape the Netherworld.
Escape the Netherworld. And they had this incredible Sasquatch game where it was just... it literally felt like I was in the woods
yeah.
with a Sasquatch that was trying to destroy me.
A real Sasquatch, guys. Not a projection of a Sasquatch, okay? Like, it really felt like you were in there.
In, like, a cabin in the woods.
In a cabin with a Sasquatch.
It was just incredible.
And their clue system was awesome. It was like that walkie-talkie radio situation.
Very integrated,
but
yeah.
not in a bad way. I know people hate walkie-talkies. But you were like, it was supposed to be like you were, I'm sorry, I'm talking through your thing. Mm-hmm. But you were supposed to be, like, in the woods. Mm-hmm. So it was like a park ranger kind of situation or something. And they were like, it was in character, in story stuff. Not just like, have you looked under the desk?
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. It was really cool.
It was, we left that game and I felt my mind like exploding of just sheer happiness. Like it yeah. was just so amazing. And I still haven't played anything like it.
This conversation is making me want to get in my car and drive to Atlanta to play their new game that they just opened.
Yes. But where was I going with this? So immersion. I'm still
yeah. Sorry,
am talking about how it is number three
for you.
Do you have anything else to say? Because immersion for you was what, number two?
Number two. I have another example.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. So I also put Robbery That Changed the World. for Immersion, which is another Comnata Quest game in their Brooklyn venue, which I think it's not there anymore, actually.
I don't know. They had some kind of fire code situation where they had to shut down a lot of their games, which is very sad.
Yeah, but Robbery That Changed the World is a robbery game, as it sounds. But I played a lot of robbery games that do not feel like robbery games. They feel like puzzles in a game that is loosely about getting money. You know what I mean? Like,
we're in a rap song now. Get the money.
It really was like you had the puzzles that you had to do were what you would actually have to do if you were doing that. And there's a couple of them that were awesome. I don't know if I can't spoil them, but the game doesn't really exist anymore.
You know, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one because I actually, there's one puzzle in that game that I can remember that was like super immersive and very cool. And yes, if I am actually robbing someone, I would do it. But the rest of the game just, like, fell flat for me. Like,
it's just because you were frustrated during the whole thing because we weren't doing very well. That's not the game's fault.
I suppose, but...
The beginning, not the puzzle that you're thinking about, but the way that you start the game...
Is super cool, is yeah.
incredibly immersive.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Yeah. But yeah,
okay. I suppose it is a good example of immersion. It's just really not my top 10 game. Like, I just...
Yeah, I was just... That's
it
why
did not affect me in that way.
Yes, okay. Would you like to list something else that did?
I did. Sasquatch at Escape the Netherworld. Plug again for Escape the Netherworld in Atlanta, Georgia.
Please check out Escape the Netherworld, who did not sponsor us. We just like them.
Yeah, we really do. Anyway, I guess I could talk. You could talk about.
Number two is Immersion.
Did you talk about your number three already?
My number three was Production Value, which I also already talked about.
Oh, this is true. All right. So now it's just up to me to tell you my number two.
Yeah.
Which is puzzles.
That's my number one.
Mm-hmm. I figured because I knew when I was writing this list that our lists were going to be incredibly similar. And right. I was not wrong. So when I say puzzles, what I'm talking about is not just like, you know, put together this jigsaw puzzle. It's like all of the experiences and all the tasks that you have to do in order to escape the room, you know, defuse the bomb, escape jail, whatever. Whatever you mean.
Find the secret antidote.
Find the secret antidote, like, kill all the zombies, whatever.
Yeah.
So, in the last couple of years, you know, since we started playing 3-4 years ago, even up until now, we've seen a huge shift from finding, you know, a 4-digit number to put into a lock to actually, like, story-driven tasks that you have to complete that actually mesh with the environment that you're in and the, like, immersion factor.
Right.
So, like, that for me is super important. And also having a mix of easy puzzles, medium, and difficult. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, not everyone that goes to play the game is going to be like us and, like, immediately look at something and be like, oh, yes, like, I have to do this. So I think it's...
not saying that we're excellent at everything.
No, we're not excellent at everything, but, I mean... We have seen a lot of different things,
right, yeah.
And it's pretty easy to, like, identify a common trope in the puzzle for us.
Yes. This is a height puzzle.
Yes, like, yeah. I'm going to have to use little Jimmy's height in order to put him to this lock.
Yeah.
But, no, what I mean is some players are obviously not like that, and
right.
You're going to need a mixture of things that are super easy to figure out. Oh, look, like, this candle goes into this empty candle holder. I just need to put that there, and something right. will happen.
Yeah.
Or a color matching puzzle or something that is simple to figure out versus like a multi-layered finale type puzzle that takes a lot of different elements to put together and takes a lot of brain power.
Yeah.
So having a mixture of those for me is also really important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
I do.
Tell me more.
Do you want... me to give my example? Because maybe it's your example.
My example is Escape Artists.
So is mine.
Yeah.
This is also... We just played at Escape Artists.
This afternoon,
which is why...
Before we're recording
But mine
this.
Is Ninja. Is yours Ninja?
No, I didn't put a specific game. I just wrote Escape Artists, like, in general.
In general. Okay. So, I will talk about it. Unless you're opposed.
No, go ahead. Okay. I'm all ears.
So yeah, like you were saying, it doesn't necessarily mean like the puzzles have to be super hard or super easy or like super complicated or whatever. But like a good mix of both of them is mm-hmm. good. And me personally, I really like physical puzzles, like interacting with something or like task-based stuff, as well as like, you know, crazy cerebral stuff, as you would say. Really layered, like logic puzzles and stuff like that, whatever. I would much prefer like a task that you would actually be doing
in
that
situation. Like a spatial type puzzle. Yeah. Like throwing something to hit a target.
Yes. Exactly like that. So in my notes I wrote ninja, physical, mental, and ninja puzzles. Which I think is a perfect example of that game. Because there was stuff that you would do if you were a ninja. But then there was also, like, some more escape game-y kind of stuff. And some more, like, mental, like, there was a logic puzzle situation kind of thing. So it was, like, a big mix of all of it. But every single puzzle that we did was fun all the way through.
And it all had to do with the story. And it all was leading you to your common goal, which was, you know, the end game, whatever it was.
Yeah, finding the evil ninja.
Finding the evil ninja!
Of course. I got out of the game and I had a huge smile on my face because I hadn't played a game that had something like that fun in a long time.
Yeah.
It was a unique theme, and like all of the puzzles were related to ninjas and not just in like an abstract way. Like I put a sticker of this ninja on this poster, so like I'm going to look and find the 4-digit code. You know what I mean? Like we definitely have played games that are like that.
Absolutely.
And it was really good. So that was Escape Artists Orlando in Baldwin Park.
I 100% agree. I think that it has to be approachable for people who have never played an escape game. People who listen to this podcast and are like, you're just saying escape game and throwing around that term and you have actually not defined it 35 minutes into this episode.
Yes.
It has to be approachable for that kind of person too.
Right.
You know, like you want someone to come in and leave, even if they didn't finish the game, saying like, holy crap, like I've never done something like that before. That was so fun.
Yeah.
Not, you know, left like brain dead because your puzzles were so difficult,
right?
And it was all just like math or right. Like
I don't want to do a puzzle that I could do at home, you know,
like exactly.
I don't want to do Sudoku, I don't want to do a crossword, I don't want to do all this other stuff that like I could just print out and do at home on my table for free.
Yeah,
like just because I'm doing it in Egypt doesn't mean it's not a crossword puzzle.
You sound so passionate about this,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that's why puzzles is number one for me. I like escape games because I like to figure stuff out. I like puzzles. People who play escape games like crazy like puzzles at their core.
Okay.
Right?
I agree with you. Yes.
It doesn't mean they have to like crossword puzzles. It just means they have to like finding the solution to something, which is really what it is.
The accomplishment that you feel after like figuring something out and the lock opening is just the most, like, it is so much fun.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, we're sitting here talking about this to the void for 40 minutes because we are so excited about it. How could you not want to be able to solve something that is super fun or, like, throw a ninja star?
Yeah.
There's nothing else that's that fun. Like,
right.
There really isn't, in my opinion, obviously.
She says, as talking to the void about escape games after playing an escape game earlier today.
Yeah. Literally, we'll have an afternoon off and we'll say, hey, do you want to drive 2.5 hours to Tampa to go play this specific thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get in the car. Go right now. Do you have a full tank of gas? No. I guess we'll just get some gas on the way.
So you just put Escape Artists in general?
Yeah, I did. Because they now in total they have 6 games between their two locations. And all of them, I think, are a good example of puzzles.
Yeah.
They have, like, different games for different levels, for different groups of people, you know, different themes that are all in the same, you know, universe, but all have distinct, like, tasks and distinct storylines. So, for me, it's just, like, an overall.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And we already talked about my number one, which you had as your
number four.
Tisk tisk.
Yeah, I mean, you put it as number one because it's game-breaking if your customer service is bad.
I feel like it's really, it just comes down to all of these things mixing into one beautiful experience.
Yes, and I would say there is only a very select few of games that we have played that fulfill all of those things at once.
Yeah.
Cool. Would you like to say anything else?
Follow us on social media. We have a lot of social medias that have no followers, and we would love for you to be our first follower.
Maybe if you're listening to this, we have followers by then. Who knows? Void.
So on Twitter, we are at ESC Expeditions. We also have a Facebook page. And do we have an Instagram yet? I don't think so.
Maybe we will by this time.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But no.
Not yet. That's where you can, you know, follow all of our updates, all of our what we are doing now, and get links to our podcast.
Also, if you want us to review something specific, then
shoot us an email.
Or you could just
hop into our DMs.
Anna didn't know how to use Twitter until earlier today.
No, I'm very new to the Tweeterverse. I don't know anything about it. I asked Jocelyn earlier what I should put for our first twit. She said maybe you shouldn't call it a twit.
Anyway, yeah, so if you have a request about games, chances are if they're in the Southeast area, we probably have played them or at least heard of them, mm-hmm. and can find someone who's played them. So
yeah, absolutely. So until then, Void, we have had a lot of fun talking to you today. Thank you for listening. And we will be posting episodes weekly, hopefully. That is our plan, at least at this point.
Adios.
Adios.
Your destination is on your left. The end of this podcast.